Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. But it isn't every day I get a chance to talk to someone who has been immortalized in a Travis Heckle cartoon in terms of the art that ends up on YouTube for the Jim Cornette Experience. Well, you're a very harsh judge there, Les, in that picture, too.
Yes, 0.0. It doesn't get any, it can't get any less than that, can you? I don't guess. I haven't listened to the piece yet, but I need to. I need to do that. That's that's great. Well, you know, the reason we're starting recording, for those that are listening so late today, I had a doctor's appointment, and they told me I'm going to live, which will disappoint a few people, but it's still a startling fact for an old man like myself. And got my fifth COVID shot. They had the Pfizer in, so I got my fifth shot. Got my blood work, got some blood taken, and then I get Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday I got to go to the dermatologist for surgery on my ear for the skin cancer. So
your insurance company's loving you.
They are. Insurance companies try their best not to have to pay more or anything if they can get away with it. But yeah, I'm glad because putting a Band-Aid on your ear is tough. Believe me, and I've been covering where they took the biopsy sample, and so finally, I guess they're going to finally get. But have you ever done anything like that?
I have not. No. In fact, now since we brought it up, you should talk about it because I don't think we've discussed it on the air before.
I don't guess we have. Well, anyway, I came up actually. What? Yeah. Okay. It's been how long ago? It's been a couple months ago now that I thought I had a scratch on my ear. Anyway, I couldn't see it from where it was at, but I thought, okay, I've got a scratch, and didn't pay a lot of attention, you know. So anyway, I went to get my hair cut, and my barber said, "What happened to your ear?" And I said, "You mean that scratch?" She said, "Les, it's not a scratch. You got a hole in your ear." I said, "What?" So anyway, she took her smartphone and took a picture of it and blew the picture up and showed it. Sure enough, I had a hole in my ear. I mean, you could honestly see the back of the ear. And when I got home, the head of a Q-tip would actually fit in that hole. So my I called my doctor, and she said, "Well, I'm going to give you some antibiotics." I went in, and she looked at, "Give some antibiotics, and if for 10 days worth, if that clears it up, then you can cancel the dermatologist appointment I'm about to make you." So then I got that appointment made that on October 31st. They took a biopsy, and it's taken a while to turn it around, but yeah, it's skin cancer. So I'm going in Monday morning. And I just cut it out, right? But I forget what they call this particular surgery, but they sent me an email explaining the whole thing. So they will take the first cut, and then I'll go back out and sit in the lobby, and they freeze that. And then once it's frozen, they slice it down into wafer thin strips. And the surgeon looks at it under the microscope. And this is to see if they've gotten the entire cancerous part of it out. This is so they don't have to take huge cuts if they don't need to. Now, if they have, then all's good. They bring me back in, they'll stitch me up, and that'll be it. If not, they will make another cut, and I will go out in the lobby and sit again. And they don't know about my patience level, Vic. That's the problem. They don't understand.
They never.
When the email said you could be here from 2 to 6 hours.
Oh, wow. 6 hours.
2's not a problem. Maybe even 3 is not a problem. But if you start looking for me in your waiting room around hour 4, 5, or 6, I may not be there. Put a damn Band-Aid on and go home. But yeah, that's the deal. But I see the point is they're trying not to cut more out than they have to. So I understand that, but I thought, can I send my ear over there and stay home? I don't think so. But yeah, so that's going to happen on Monday, and I hope that's the end of it. You know what drives me crazy with this? I love the sun. before tanning beds, you know, it's just, you'd like to get a nice tan in the summer as a wrestler because the lights tend to wash you out. I'd lay outside 2-3 hours at a time, some days, and read. And then, of course, as a competitive bodybuilder, you got to get as dark as you possibly can under those hot lights. Otherwise, they will wash your definition out. And so I, you know, outside in the sun and tanning beds, never had this problem. Now all of a sudden, I do. But anyway, that's my medical report for today, and hope it all comes out well. And what's your wrestling report for the day, Victor?
Well, unfortunately, the wrestling report also starts in the doctor's office, or more like the intensive care unit. Really sad, obviously, we saw earlier this week. Just want to take the opportunity to send some prayers and some positive energy out to Barry Windham and his family. BW unfortunately had that heart attack earlier in the week, and I'm not sure if anyone has heard anything since that initial announcement. Have you?
I have not, but I know he was in the ICU. Barry's a big guy, my God. He got thicker than, I don't know if he's as tall as Jack as his dad was, but he's thicker than Jack ever was.
You know,
but this
the,
is his second heart attack.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a number of years ago when he had the first one.
Did not know that.
We want to keep him in our thoughts and prayers. He's too old to be kicking a bucket this soon, man. Oh,
that's a fact. You know, you talk about how big he has become, and it's hilarious for any of us who saw Barry Windham, not just in his prime, but when he started. When you looked at his build compared to his dad, Blackjack Mulligan, you thought, when is this kid's never going to gain any weight?
Yeah, he looked more like a basketball player than a wrestler.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Well, when Flair and Crockett and Jack bought this territory from Barnett, Barry was wrestling here as Blackjack Jr. And wearing, you know, the same, the black Stetson and the vest and everything. And yeah, he was still really skinny then. But man, he has filled out. Yeah, he's a good guy. I hope he pulls out of this. And like I say, let's all keep him in our thoughts and prayers for sure.
All right, as far as professional wrestling this week in the ring and behind the scenes, I guess probably the most fascinating thing of the week was Tony Khan's media call ahead of Ring of Honor's final battle, which is taking place over the weekend. Obviously, everyone's wondering about the deal with William Regal, and he told a story. It took nearly 20 minutes, just, you know, a very deep story about his own family and his mother's health issues. And, you know, upon reflection, since Regal's rationale for wanting to have his option declined to give him the freedom to go back to WWE was an opportunity to spend some time working with his son, who is now in the Performance Center. And all the stuff going on around Tony and his family and his mom led him to believe that, you know, the right thing to do is to let this man be with his family. So to his great credit, I think, you know, shout out to Tony for doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's, and, you know, of course, we were talking about, it looks like Regal cannot appear on WWE TV for the next year, can only coach. The coaching, he obviously will be, that will do well. Him not appearing, I understand that. But him not even appearing, realize that probably the most smoothest working angle that has happened in recent times in AEW was put together by who?
That would be Mr. Regal.
Wait for the answer.
Yes.
Yes.
You're talking about the promo this week.
Yeah. Well, and you know, while we're on Regal and that, you know, I mentioned, and I was going to say that one of the things that jumped off the page at me on Wednesday night was the fact that the Tony Schiavone Regal video. And I said to you before we started recording, the great thing is it ties loose ends. It just doesn't leave people hanging. You know where he's going. Well, we knew that. I mean, not from his, you know, from that. But he, you know, he left those guys, you know, why, John, here's why I did this and so forth and so on. You guys don't need me. I thought that was good because it tied, you know, how many times, never mind just in this company, but in other companies too, an angle is finished, but it's left hanging in midair. And so I think the good thing about it was that they were, you know, And again, and I would guess nobody said that, but I would guess that that final promo was Regal's idea too, to tie up the loose ends.
Well, there are a lot of things, I think, hanging over the Blackpool Combat Club in particular. I jump on that because Mr. Regal in that last line of the promo said he would be Blackpool Combat Club until the day he dies. But what happens if there's no Blackpool Combat Club, which I think is a very real possibility now? We haven't seen Bryan Danielson since Regal was stretchered out a couple of weeks ago. We've got the match at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view with Jericho against Claudio. And if Claudio loses, he has to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. And there have been plenty of great angles over the years where that has played out. And, you know, the guy has just completely ruined the place he's forced to be from within.
Sure.
But, you know, when you think about Regal being gone, Danielson being off TV, and, you know, it to me, it's not inconceivable, especially since Moxley was looking to take a break before everything happened with Punk. And he's been pressed into additional service here. If we just never spoke about the Blackpool Combat Club again, Claudio has his own thing to work his way through the Appreciation Society, or he wins. Danielson comes back looking for MJF and revenge for what happened to Regal, and maybe Moxley and Yuta break off into the tag division.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. And you know, the shame of it is, I understand why Regal wanted to go back, and I appreciate all that, and I appreciate Tony Khan making that work for him. That, to me, that faction had more value wrestling-wise than any other faction in the damn currently in that company. And just to break it up completely, and I like, too, the way, you know, the way Regal left it in his final promo, you know, you guys don't need me. So it wasn't like, hey, you're done without me and everything. So, I know what you're saying, and yes, there is that possibility, but I think all these guys play well off of each other, or did, you know, whether they will again. And I'm guessing, you know, talking about Dragon being by Regal's side, I think that's that makes sense too, because he was my mentor, and we want to get this straightened out. But so, you know, but I hope that. The Blackpool continues, and I'll keep my fingers crossed. But who knows? I don't.
A couple of other notes that came out of that conference call is that he said, Tony Khan did, the future of Ring of Honor would be addressed on Saturday, and alluded to something being revealed, perhaps that weekly TV product after Final Battle, which would be, I think, obviously would be a good thing for the company. You know, you don't want to have it to force it to its subsistence or to be sustained on AEW TV. You want to create two distinctly different products. At least I would think that would be the idea. So if he was able to swing that with his partners here at Warner Brothers / Discovery, that would be a really good thing, presumably, for Ring of Honor. I kind of chuckled, though, about the whole thing. He was asked about Rampage because, again, the ratings were down and maybe the all-time low, I believe, since the show went on the air. And he said, listen, there's going to be a big card on Friday, and the spoilers are out there if you want to see what his definition of a big card was, but that it was an all-hands-on-deck situation for strong matches in the future to build this back up. And I recall distinctly before the last pay-per-view, Les, where everything went sideways, in a media call that weekend before the pay-per-view, he was asked about low ratings on Rampage, and he said, well, I just had to get through and to this pay-per-view. After this pay-per-view, starting next week, we're going to be building that show back up and get some A talent on there with big time matches. And here we are, how many months later, talking about the same thing?
Yeah. Well, and you know, here again, let me reiterate, I've done this before. I don't know Tony Khan. I've never met Tony. The people that do know him, who I know well, say he's really a nice guy. And from all due intent and purpose, from what I can tell, he is. But he also needs somebody that is deeply involved in the wrestling business to help him out with this stuff. And he's got, I mean, God knows the people are there. He just sent one back to WWE. So, I mean, there are people there. Dustin would be one. Arn, obviously. You know, Tully's not around anymore. But, you know, there are guys there who can help him. And I think that's part of it too. If he's trying to do everything himself, the fact that it's not going smoothly isn't surprising to me at all. What do you think about the Muro thing?
That is a really interesting story, because obviously most of us out here who critique this for a living or for fun or either a little bit of both were not enamored of his initial presentation in AEW, but he transformed himself into something and somebody, I think, that was worth a significant amount of television time. And essentially, according to the folks at Fightful earlier this week, Muro's healthy, but the dreaded line from Stamford, creative has nothing for you. And I just, I cannot imagine this based on the way he had transformed that presentation, that there's not a spot here right now. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people and you can't get everybody on at the same time. And I certainly understand that. And maybe there's part of it was out of sight, out of mind for Tony, because the last time we saw Muro, he was having issues with the House of Black. And we remember what happened with the House of Black for the last couple of months. And so, you know, might have just been like, okay, well, where do I put him in next? Well, I got all these other things I want to do. Maybe we'll just put this whole thing on ice and figure it out later. And later turned into longer than he wanted. But that's underscores, again, another reason for him to have some folks helping him back there. I cannot imagine why you would not want to use this man more.
I can't either. I don't get it. And in terms of other people that you could do without, and I don't have a roster from AEW in front of me, but I can think of at least a half dozen real quick, and I'm not going to start naming people. But, you know, if we're talking about, first of all, his size, second of all, who he, you know, was before he came to AEW. So he has that recognition factor. But he's, you know, like you say, and the stories he was trying to build, the promos, I made fun. I said it's kind of like the Ultimate Warrior, but the point was they came across finally, and he started to build. I think he had his steam, and then all of a sudden, we don't know where he's at. It comes back, and we've discussed this. Tony Khan seems to sign anybody that happens to be walking by, you know, or is available, and he's got so many guys under contract, but he got situations like this where you've got people that can actually help elevate your card, helps even if they aren't the featured guy in a storyline or, you know, a faction or something, they stand out because of their who they were, who they are, their talent and so forth. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. But again, you know, I can say this, all the years I've been in this crazy business, it is subjective. And that's why sometimes we all get so damn frustrated, because you see some guy that you realize, you know, checks all the boxes and he's not being used properly or used at all in this case. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I, you know, the whole thing, I understand wanting to give young guys a break and all that. And I'm all for that too, but there's ways of doing it without, you know, putting the more experienced veterans on the shelf and throwing a high level indie show out there. And sometimes that's what we're seeing, especially on Fridays. And sometimes it's not very high level. I'd be curious. I know Black; those guys are supposed to. Was it next Wednesday they're on?
Yes, the House of Black will be in action this coming Wednesday on Dynamite.
They've been in action, unless they've been kicking butts. Yeah, I'd be anxious to see how they're going to be used. Like I said, I thought the way they've come back and established themselves, it was well done. Now you just, where do you go from there? And that's the point. And it has to be as strong or continue to ease up and get stronger if you intend to draw with them.
Well, in looking at this show we had this past Wednesday, which unfortunately a lot of folks didn't get a chance to take in fully, if you were was it Charter Cable? It was either Charter or Spectrum. You know, 20 plus million viewers, unfortunately, did not get a chance to really take in this particular program.
Spectrum, because I've got Charter.
Okay.
So
with the folks at Spectrum, which is a sizable chunk of the TNT and TBS audience, the hockey game they were running on TNT suffered a great deal in those ratings this week as well because of that on Wednesday night. They missed out on a couple of interesting things. I mean, not only did we get that promo from Regal that you talked about, we had the showdown between Ricky Starks and MJF. And I did not realize this, and we'd been talking about it the last couple of weeks, that this Winter is Coming show with MJF against Ricky Starks is already here. It's this coming Wednesday, which makes me sad only because I wanted to see more microphone battles back and forth between MJF and Ricky Starks. Is there no way we could have drawn this out just a little bit further?
I hear you. And yeah, it's, now Wednesday night, that was one of the highlights of the show, I thought.
Yeah.
And I cracked up when MJF said, "Your low rent rock."
Pebble. Thought, yeah.
Yes. Yes, you're right, MJF. It's not just a heel promo, it's a factual promo. Yeah. And you've heard me say, Starks needs to stop the stupid posing. If he's a babyface, he's try to be one or the other at this particular point and not a tweener. And and I see a future with him too. But I thought the back and forth between those guys was good. I don't see Winter is Coming to be, you've got the fourth of seven series with the World Trios Championship, House of Black, and the Dynamite Diamond Ring winner, and MJF versus Starks. I don't know what they're going to fill the rest of those 2 hours out with.
Well, they'll have to spend the next couple of days, I guess, getting that information to trickle out. Whether or not they've already decided it and just haven't put it out yet, I don't know. But in looking at this match with MJF and Starks, it would seem that the outcome probably should not be in doubt to anybody. But I don't think that makes it any less of an incredible opportunity for Ricky Starks. I mean, I would have liked, let's be honest, in a perfect world, for him to be on a longer winning streak heading into this. But he does have some momentum. He did win the Battle Royal the other day. They did have this good segment this past week. And he doesn't have to win the match to really get ahead.
This
can just be a fantastic match that MJF sort of escapes from, and his profile is raised if you continue using him in a prominent spot moving forward, referring to Starks.
Yeah. And what you said, you'd like to have seen this build a little more, and I would have too, but I think Tony's booking pretty much exemplifies a lot of the ideas of this particular generation and this time of in our lives in wrestling. Is it's like everybody's double parked. You got to get this done in a hurry.
Yeah.
We've talked how many times, the whole conversation about Bloodline and everything and Roman and how they're over and more established as a top heel faction simply because it's taken so much time. So, and that's the other thing too. If your numbers are down, instead of rushing to hotshot everything, you need to see, now throwing a couple hotshots in on a show is not, but the whole show shouldn't be a hotshot. And then you got a chance to build things like we're talking about here with MJF and Starks and let them build a little bit. While we're on talking about AEW, how about the final battle in Dallas for Ring of Honor? It's not a bad show, but it's a one-trick pony for my money. Oh. That's FTR against the Briscoes.
Yeah, the double dog collar match. We had that announcement this past Wednesday on Dynamite. It'll be a spectacle, that's for sure. If anybody can figure out how to put together a great dog collar match, it's these two teams. Obviously, they've had a vendetta going on the last couple of ROH pay-per-view shows, and I would imagine that this is the end of the line. The dog collar match usually would be one of those situation-ending matches, so we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, the money would probably be heavily on FTR, given what we've heard about Warner Brother Discovery's feelings about the Briscoes, based on things that they said years ago, or Jay specifically had said years ago. You'd think FTR is going to win this match, especially if Tony has a television announcement that he was teasing. If that is in fact the case, then it would sound like that's FTR's spot. But let's backtrack a little bit to Dynamite on Wednesday night, where FTR, who have been top contenders to the AEW World Tag Team Champions for the last couple of months, watched the Acclaim get a couple of different shots, even though they were not number one contenders, win the titles. And then they got their chance against the Acclaim this past Wednesday, and I was going into this thinking, well, obviously, not obviously, you can do whatever you want. But I looked at it and said, there's no way FTR is walking out of here with the belts. How are they going to get around this? Because the Acclaimed are over. They're young. They just won the titles. You know, for them to lose would really be cutting them off at the knees at this point. So how are we going to do this? And as you said to me off the air, and I'll let you discuss the match, FTR managed to make everybody look great and figure out a way.
Yeah, that's I'm distressed or confused or frustrated or grab a word there. I don't matter. You have, for my money, the best damn tag team currently in the professional wrestling business. That's FTR. Okay, they have three belts or four, whatever. I think it's only three. Anyway, but on the main roster that they're under contract to, which is AEW, Dax continually puts over young guys, makes them look good, and comes out of it unhurt, or at least as far as I'm concerned. It's not, you know, it's not, well, he lost to that stupid kid, you know, or something, but he's made these guys, even the one, you know, but in these tag matches, why would you not have let the Acclaimed win a couple of championship matches? And then, because to me, it only makes sense that FTR ends up with every belt, every tag team belt imaginable under this umbrella. And how, I mean, I understand that these guys are so good that they elevate people that aren't. And I'm not, that's not a knock because, I mean, it's in anything, you know, there's always somebody better, right? The old rodeo adage is, ain't never a horse couldn't be rode, but ain't never been a cowboy couldn't be throwed, right? So there's always somebody better around the corner, but these guys are the yardstick now that I measure tag team wrestling by. And I just don't get it. I just don't. Are you afraid you know, make them the top team? Would somebody whimper and cry, or are they going to quit or pout, or I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe you can explain it to me.
I think Tony thought he was having his cake and eating it too. He didn't have to run afoul of anybody who might be upset about FTR getting a push. And at the same time, he can put all these other belts on FTR. And when people say, well, what are you doing with them? He said, what do you mean? They've got every belt under the sun except for one. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. And
yeah.
I don't know that it's necessarily worked out that way.
No, I don't think it does. I truly don't think it works out that way, honestly. You know, it's, I mean, oh God, it's just, but you are, I mean, the point of it is when they go out and put, you know, everybody over, Dax in the singles, and then he and Crash in the, in the tags, it chips away at their veil, at their value, and at their credibility as champions. Whether you know, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at something altogether different because of my background. You know, that's not to say the casual fan is. You know, and you know, I know this. I know pro wrestling isn't real, but that doesn't mean that a lot of things that are real in this world don't evolve and transpire and happen within the industry, even though it is work, you know, because another old saying in the business is you keep plugging away and telling the people that this guy is great or this guy is a bastard, and sooner or later they'll believe it. That's a two-way street. And I don't want to see where the people think, well, why the FTR guys got any belts at all? They haven't won a match in them damn weeks. Just, again, I scratch my head with it. And with me, they can make these young guys and still beat these young guys without hurting them. And that's the way I'd be going. And I assumed that with the Acclaimed, last Wednesday might have been the night that they were going to, you know, finally put all the belts on FTR, but I was wrong. So, whatever. I don't know. I just don't get it. But I say I do believe that the Ring of Honor show is a one-trick pony.
Well, that dog collar match is probably the one everyone's going to be walking out and talking about. There are a couple of other, I think, interesting matches on the show. And since we've gotten on that kick, let's just kick around a couple of them. Samoa Joe and Juice Robinson. Juice, new to the company, apparently has put pen to paper recently. We have not seen him much or maybe at all, to the best of my recollection, on AEW Dynamite. But we certainly know he's got the ability and...
Yeah, he wrestled, wait a minute, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was trying, he wrestled Moxley for ROH title. Was that on Rampage or was that on Dynamite?
I don't remember, but he did wrestle Moxley for the title. You're right. They did.
Yeah.
Because
they were trying to sell their feud from Japan and that fan base, I forget what town they were in, weren't really buying it. It wasn't that hot for those fans.
No.
That I remember too.
They didn't show any New Japan footage either.
Yeah, no.
Would have helped. In any event, he's got a shot at the TV champion in Samoa Joe, who had a hard-fought win over Darby Allin this week. I wonder if Darby is still feeling that skateboard to the back after Wednesday night.
Whoa! Yeah, I yelled Idaho loud when I saw that. That's a word for potato in the wrestling business, folks. But yeah, Joe works snug. I don't know. Mercedes and Athena might be a decent match. I tell you, Athena to me isn't the same lady I saw in WWE. I was really high on her there. I mean, she's not. I'm not just turning my back and saying, "Oh, get rid of her" or anything. But she just doesn't come across as smooth and as talented as she did to me there.
Well, let me find the article so I can tell you exactly what she said. You mean it a different way than she means it, but the fact that she seems different to you than in WWE was exactly her idea. Not the whole hitting hard stuff. I know you saw that. Talking about why she's a little bit different here, and part of that was, she said she put this recent evolution into motion. And here's, I think, a really interesting and probably a telling comment, though. It's one of those things where I hope Tony noticed it. She said she didn't want to get lost in the AEW shuffle and asked herself what she could do to stand out. Quote, you start second guessing yourself and then finally you just have to say F it. That's basically what I've done, is say F it and going to do what I do best in terms of the hard hitting style, which she was employing before getting to WWE.
Okay. All righty. Well, so, you're right about, stand out. Well, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again today. You can take the women's roster from WWE, from both all the WWE shows, from all the AEW shows. I won't talk about Impact or anything because I haven't watched it, so I couldn't say. And if you pick out just the best workers, you won't have as many people. You'll probably get rid of half the women that we're talking about because they're not that talented. My buddy Jim and I were talking the other day, speaking of ladies, we see some ladies on NXT that see a future for. Now, there's one, she's a surfer. I can't remember her name. I don't write all these things down and they refuse to throw, put up names sometimes. And if the announcers don't continually hit on it, I don't get them, but yeah, there's some ladies there that have some, I think a strong future if it continue to grow. But yeah, I just think Mercedes can go, and I'll tell you what, I never forget the first time I saw her. I was doing a camp up in New England, and we went to one of the New England Championship Wrestling shows, and she was on it. And the first, I forget who was sitting with me, but the first thing I said when her match started, I said, my God, she throws a better punch than half the guys on this show. But yeah, she can get a little stiff too, if necessary. So they may have the hardest hitting match of the night. I don't know. But and of course the thing is, Tony Khan seems to think that by the end of, the final battle that we'll all understand where Ring of Honor is going or what is going to happen or so forth, so on. Do you think there's a chance of them having a TV show as well?
Better yet, would you give them Rampage?
Well, or if they added another layer in terms of a TV show.
Now that concerns me.
Yes. Well, you better start looking for some other people to use. I mean, or some of these people that we don't see much of, like Miro, and or even some of the lesser lights that pop up once every couple months. I don't know. And then at that point too, does that mean Tony Khan is going to book another television show for the same week?
That is asking a lot of anybody. You know, I mean, even if he was knocking them out of the park on a regular basis with nary a questionable segment in sight, if he does in fact have a TV deal here and Rampage is not going to Ring of Honor, which, you know, we've heard nothing like that. So I was just throwing that out there. Now he's going to have to produce at least one more hour, a fourth hour of television, when it seems like things are getting past him with the three that he's got. So, yeah, I would think it's a good thing on the surface for Ring of Honor. I mean, he didn't buy it just for the library. He wanted to be able to keep this thing going and have a place to mix and match people, which makes sense in theory. But it's one thing for something to look good on paper and another thing to make it happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And again, you know, it's like some of these companies that they start opening branches and they keep growing and growing and growing. And then all of a sudden you see, hey, those such company just closed 12 stores.
Thank you. That is exactly what I was thinking.
Yes. Yes. Because they opened too many too quick and they weren't ready to do that. And realize, too, what we're talking. Somebody's going to say, well, how many TV shows does WWE have? And I'm going to say, how many years has WWE been in business? Realize they started with with the actual WWF when Vince bought it. They had maybe two shows, and they weren't 3 hours and 2 hours. Realize they were 1 hour until they started to grow and they got on the network and that Saturday night thing. And anyway, so my point is they didn't grow overnight, and that's basically what he is doing and has done from the outset, don't you think?
Well, the other part of that, too, is not only have they been doing this forever in WWE, but regardless of what we think about the writer's room, how many writers there are, too many writers, not enough writers, writers who don't know wrestling, yada, yada, for all these hours of television, they don't have just one person drawing the format out saying they want this, 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 and this, and handing it off maybe to one other person to make sure that it's timed right. You know, there are dozens of people, literally, for better or for worse, but dozens of people to handle these hours of television, as opposed to AEW, where seemingly it all comes back to one person's thoughts and ideas and trying to implement it from there, as opposed to having a village.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a little precarious as it is, and it could get a lot, you know, more precarious and unwieldy and unbalanced. If he does come up with a TV show for ROH, and I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But they've got a lot going on, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Let me ask you about one more match here before we move on to WWE and start to wind this program down. We talked about this earlier in discussing Regal and the future of the Blackpool Combat Club, Jericho against Claudio. And whether or not this could signal the end of the Combat Club, if in fact it goes in the direction that we were discussing earlier in the show. You know, we've seen also back in the days to great effect, the guy you want to see win and avoid having to join the other guy's group actually lose the match and somehow win in the end because of the chaos he causes once he has to be part of the group. And that could be where they're going here. There's any number of things. And you and I have talked about at length in recent weeks and months about Jericho being the Ring of Honor champion, making sense from the perspective of if you wanted to make a television deal and you want a recognizable name, it makes sense to have Chris Jericho there. And if they're on the verge of one, I don't think Warner Brothers Discovery would take kindly to the fact that you took the belt off of Jericho just as he put pen to paper on a TV deal and shook hands with you on this. So it would seem to me that Jericho should probably hold on to this if there's a television show. And so, you know, where do we go from there? So I'm just curious about your thoughts on who's going to walk away with the Ring of Honor title.
Well, I think we must know that Chris, part of the office Jericho, with the guy with 4,000 gimmick names, is the guy you got to figure is going to win this thing.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see Claudio as a sports. Well, the whole sports entertainer thing is about as valuable as a piece of paper that is laying here on my desk. Because it don't mean anything. Because again, when a sports entertainer wrestles a professional wrestler, they both look alike. They both do the same things. So please, the whole gimmick is just a waste of time for my money, quite frankly. But I would like to see, I was hoping that the Blackpool would stay together. But if Claudio gets beat, he's got to be a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I'm going to join that, I think.
You
it's there's three people running this company, and that none of their names are Tony or Khan. No. Their names are Jericho or Jackson. Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Is he even going to let you in after you were drawn up in that cartoon, giving him a zero?
I guess he's not. I don't know. I like Chris. I like a lot of things Chris does. But a lot of the stuff, I like Chris in AEW as a babyface because of the fans singing his song. Or as my friend Jim says, they're reading the damn words off their phones, for Christ's sake. It's like they haven't memorized it. Jim's a big Fish fan, the band Fish. So, I don't want to see Claudio in that. Although, I mean, Claudio is going to be a positive for anybody he works with or is in somebody's faction, but I just want to see Blackpool continue. And of course, it won't be the first time I won't get my way if they don't. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
So that card is going down in Arlington, Texas, as we record this tomorrow. That's on Saturday,
right,
the 10th of December. Let's sneak in some discussion of WWE here before we wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. First and foremost on the plate today, Les, is what Becky Lynch was talking about. You know, away for 4 months after a separated shoulder at SummerSlam, and in a recent interview, she said her shoulder is still bothering her. Quote, truth be told, my shoulder still isn't feeling right. So to say I was nervous is probably a bit of an understatement. But once you get out there, you get in front of the crowd, you feel that energy, you forget everything else. And I'm sure that anybody who's ever stepped into the ring can understand exactly what she meant and her sentiment and that, and has probably had that have them happen for themselves more than once, because there's no way anyone walks into a ring after spending some time in it healthy ever again, 100% at least. But I guess with someone who was a big part of the Ring Wars for 20 plus years and then trained folks for more than 20 years also, it's certainly subjective, so I don't expect you to have a concrete answer. But how do you navigate the line between this thing is not 100%, but I got to get out there, or I understand it's never going to be 100% again, so I got to make the best of it, tape it up, and let's go. And this isn't right, and I need to stay home a little bit longer.
Well, here's the thing. If it is going to heal, I haven't heard that it's as good as it's going to get. I don't know that that's the case. And I would guess if it is as good as it's going to get, they're not going to tell you that either, right? Because she's already made this comment. But the problem with working with something that is not 100% is you tend to protect that particular part of your body. And at many times, that creates a problem for another part. I mean, so, you know, you end up hurting something else, which slows you down even more. And if I'm going to the ring to work with something that's not 100%, I need my opponent to know that, and I also need to know that my opponent will take care of me. We've discussed that in the past too, you know. And of course, I'm not that familiar with all the women on that roster, so am I to say who can take care of Becky or who can't take care of Becky? But I think she is too valuable to take a gamble on. So she's not 100%. If she had to be out a couple more weeks, of course, now she's already made her appearance, and God knows it hit big. So I doubt that they're going to want to back up. So I think it's the main thing is that the lady she worked with got to know that she's one of the people that's going to help us draw money. We need to take care of her. And so you stay away from that shoulder or whatever is bothering her at the time.
Not gonna lie to you about this, but if I were Becky Lynch and I was looking at the ideas presented to me knowing I was not 100%, I might have called Paul Levesque and said, do you think it would be a big deal if I debuted the day after War Games? Could you get somebody else in there with me and my bad shoulder? I'm not sure that's the first match I want to come back in.
You know what? I do believe this. I believe that she must, I don't know what kind of stroke she has behind the scenes. I know her talent and what she's done with the company should give her some leverage. So I don't know if she even brought that up, if they would pay attention or say, no, we need to get you out there now.
Yeah.
And I also think once they've seen the reception she got, they're not anxious to pull her and say, okay, take a couple more weeks off. But I just hope they're careful with her, because I said last week, her coming back is going to change the complexion of that women's roster completely. And speaking of that women's roster, I do want to give a shout out to a female Knoxvillian, Miss Bianca Belair, who competed and won in a women's bodybuilding competition this past week.
Yes.
And man, to keep her schedule with WWE and to eat and train properly for that contest, I say I want to take my hat off. Hell, if I had two hats, I'd take them both off. That's a hell of a grind. When I was doing competitive bodybuilding, I wasn't wrestling. In fact, I was, I was working in the bodybuilding industry, training other lifters and stuff. So, I mean, I was within the industry, so it was no problem for me to get, to get my training and my diet and so forth and so on. But she looked good. I'm not familiar with the particular federation that she competed in, but I thought, wow, lady, you look really good. And I say it's a grind, because with being a competitive bodybuilder, if you really are trying to win and be at the top of your class, it's 24/7. I started dieting 16 weeks out from a show, and you have to be sure what you eat. And it's not, you'll have a cheat day once a week. You take in five or six meals a day. One, they're smaller meals, but they're every 3 hours, three or 3.5 hours. And that's important, that to keep the metabolism up and things like that. Plus, once you start dieting to tighten up and cutting back on your carbohydrates, then your energy levels are going to go down too. So she's walked that tightrope between the competitive bodybuilding and professional wrestling, and done a hell of a job is all I can say. And my hat is off to her, man. She came through like a champion.
So I'm looking at the pictures and the caption she wrote on Instagram showing off her success at this show the other day. WBFF Entertainment, the World Beauty Fitness and Fashion Incorporated, I guess. So that's the name of the place she was going for, and got her pro card, two different divisions, first place in one, second place in the other. Talked about how she'd been prepping for the previous 10 weeks and doing that in wrestling altogether. And a shout out to her husband, Montez Ford of the Street Profits, who was right there with her, helping her get through all these different sessions and wrestling and eating right and what have you. But here's the part I got a kick out of. She said, he even went on a diet with me, and we're definitely training for the next one together. So looks like Montez has just been roped into carbless days.
Cool. I trained with one of my with my wife. We were both competing, and it honestly don't necessarily say it's not easy to do, regardless to help with somebody, but with somebody they're suffering through the diet and everything like you are, and there's a motivation that they're if they're on the right track, you better stay on it too. But yeah, that's great. That this federation that she's in, I saw the way they scored, and I'd never seen that. By the way, I not only competed, but I was a judge for the NPC, National Physique Committee, which is the amateur governing body connected with the IFBB, which is the International Federation of Bodybuilders. That's the pro branch. And so the federation she's competing in, I had just started in recent years, and so I'm not that familiar. But yeah, she looked great, and to juggle both balls at the same time took a hell of a lot of dedication, concentration, and work ethic. It really did. So God bless her.
Given that we heard so much about Becky Lynch's shoulder injury when it took place, even though we don't know exactly the current status other than it's under 100%, a little mystery around Drew McIntyre this week. He had been scheduled to compete on SmackDown as we record this later on tonight, and he's been medically disqualified, his words. Dave said on Observer Radio earlier this week that the injury issue is not expected to be a long-term thing, but apparently serious enough to keep him out of a match he had been advertised for. So here's hoping that everybody's right about this being very short-term.
Yeah, let's hope, because I think he's an important cog in the wheel. He really is. I'm a big McIntyre fan. If you don't, you know, here again, he may be able to go out there and get by. But if there's a chance of creating further problems with whatever it is that problem he has now, then they're right. The best place to be is not in that ring. Because it was like Becky said about the adrenaline. She's right. You know, I've been hurt in the middle of a match and didn't feel it till I got out of bed the next morning from, you know, adrenaline and everything. I can tell you about one of those. We were in Norfolk, Virginia. I was working with Ole Anderson, and he had beat me down to, like, I was on my knees. And I saw him come, and I realized he was going to drive a knee into my shoulder. But I didn't have time to get both my legs out from, I was sitting on, you know, I had my calves, from my knees back, right, sitting on my calf. I didn't get them both out. And as I tried to get the left one out, I heard, so I knew something had happened. But we went on and had a hell of a match. I mean, I didn't feel, and showered, got something to eat, back to the hotel, blah, 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 blah. When I got out of bed next morning, son, I was done. Right? I mean, I about fell on my nose when I put weight on that leg. And I called Joe Murnick, who was the promoter. We were in Richmond the next night, promoter in Norfolk and Richmond. I said, Joe, you got to fill in for me tonight. You know, I showed up, but there was no way I was going to wrestle. You know, but I didn't feel anything till the next morning. So when it got cold and stiff, by gosh. But yeah, so you want to take care of your stars, and Becky is definitely one, and damn sure McIntyre is too. So I don't know if Butch is the right substitute for him, but and well, let's face it, we know who's going. Well, they should. I guess the Usos are going to win this one. Are you feeling oozy today at all?
I'm going to need a stronger definition from Sami Zayn before I can say yay or nay on that. You know, the funny thing is, once they started using it after that week where he pulled it out and nobody was expecting it, you know, I had the full expectation that they would wear this thing out. And they may still, because it has to come up a lot, but it's still got mileage, to Sami's credit.
Yeah, it does. You're right. You know, I wrote on Facebook this past week. We've talked, you and I have talked about it on the show several times. But I had to, you know, give props to the Bloodline for all that they've done and all the great things. And they are good. They are good. There was last Friday wasn't a special, but I said to you before we started recording, hell. You know, Sami and the crew came out and they did what they do every week, entertained the hell. And it was more like we're a faction now, man. All of us, right? Sami won the, helped us with the war games and blah blah blah. You know, and it was, you know, it's they're growing on each other. And to me, that's a good thing, because that means this whole thing is going to last longer. And they'll grow. Sami will get tighter, and all of a sudden, fans may, or to me, this is the way we do it years ago, right? And give the fans a chance to forget that Jay didn't like Sammy. And then when they weren't expecting it, that's when we pulled the plug. It's called working, boys and girls. It's very hard to get commodity in the business today, but that's what it is. And if they do it that way, I think that's great. That's great, those guys. But I don't see, and, you know, I can't see the Usos dropping the straps anytime soon either. If I were the booker, they would. You can give them, you know, make it get to the edge, but you don't push them over and keep things rolling. Because right now, I think that's the strongest angle and storyline in the industry. I mean, I haven't seen every storyline in every company, but that one's got legs, and it took all this time to build, and I don't see cutting the legs out from under them anytime in the near future anyway. I would say if it's going to happen, maybe, do we wait till WrestleMania next year?
You mean in 2023? Well, I don't know. Is that enough time for people to forget before you pull the plug?
Oh, that's in April, right?
Yeah.
So we got 4 months, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it could. And maybe you're not going to pull the plug. And well, something we're going to mention before we go too is New Day being in NXT, and there is talk that they may stay down there for a while. But we were talking about this before we went on the air, how long New Day is. And they started out, and I know these guys. I've worked with both Xavier and Kofi. I like them. They're talented kids. But I'm like, oh, my God, they became a product into themselves with the food and cereal and pancakes and all this stuff. But they have been together since 2014.
Yes.
8 friggin' years.
Yeah, middle of July of 2014.
8 years. And they still pack a punch. So, yeah, I think they would help NXT if they, and I think, you know, that it would give them a break off of SmackDown or Raw or Raw, and that won't hurt them either.
No, I think it's really good because not only do you get them coming across as completely fresh faces in NXT, but you get a chance to get away from the New Day and the Usos. We did this a number of times already. And, you know, let's be honest, before we had that last match, which did have meaning between those two teams because of the fact that the Usos were on the verge of breaking the New Day's record, but they had wrestled so many times in the past year and a half, that until we came up on that date where they could have broken the record and subsequently did, those matches, it was just like, okay, been there, done that. That one had a little bit of juice because of that record being on the line. And the Usos
right.
retained. So now what do you do with the New Day? You know, that they're kind of in a spot there if you don't have another plan. And NXT might just
right.
be the thing everybody's looking for.
And it will help NXT, I think.
Right. It's a win-win situation.
I agree 100%. I do.
All right. Well, then we're going to wind down this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly while we're in complete agreement before things can go too far left. And ask you to let everybody know where they get a hold of you for bookings, DVDs, t-shirt. You are a virtual one-stop shop.
I wish. I wish I were Walmart, but I'm not. You know what I want to do want to say, though? We're going to do a show next Friday, the week of Christmas, the 23rd. We are not going to record because I'm not going to be in position to do so. But we're going to come back hopefully on the 30th. And wind up the year and bring in the new year and all that sort of thing. So we're good for next week, and the 30th we will have a little hiatus on the 23rd as well. But yes, if you would be interested in booking me for a one-day seminar or a weekend training camp, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. Be more than happy to send you out the information that you need. If you'd like to get one of the first ever, a copy of the first ever wrestling t-shirt, pro wrestling t-shirt on the market, you can get that at Pro Wrestling Tees. It's a Briscoe Booster Tee, put out by Jack, Jerry, and myself in 1972. Artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. Wrestling from the Heartland, the Lost Developmental Tapes, volumes 1 and 2, 6 hours of content. Both are 2 DVD sets. matches interviews and extras. Joe Dombrowski and I do the voiceover. You can get those at joe-dombrowski.com or prowrestlinglibrary.com. And also the Pillman Memorial, or the Pillman, Brian Pillman Show's anthology. Let's spit it out. 20th anniversary, 4 DVD set, over 15 hours of content, all four of those great shows from 98, 99, 2000, 2001. Matches, interviews, awards, extras, et cetera, et cetera. Get that at PillmanShow.com or with the two addresses I mentioned earlier, Joe-Dombrowski.com or ProWrestlingLibrary.com. And if you happen to be up, running up or down I-75 in the state of Tennessee, usually Tuesday through Saturday, I am at Mountain Barn Builders in Rocky Top, Tennessee. That's it. 313 North Main Street. Stop in and say hello. We can talk wrestling, but maybe I could sell you a kennel for your pet, playhouse, storage unit, a carport, or a storage building. So stop in and check us out. And the good Lord willing, and the crease don't rise, and my ear doesn't get cut off on Monday completely, we should be back here next Friday, right?
Rub some dirt on it, Thatcher. You got two of them.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know what? I'm talking out of the ear that's going to cut. I'm a left ear guy. What can I say?
I've never heard that before. I might have to write that one down. All right. So
all right.
We can wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. Obviously, you know, we're pulling for you. Hope everything goes well and you'll get out of there in 2 hours as opposed to six. But
yes, sir.
We'll get the full scoop next week. Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly is coming to a close. We appreciate you spending some time with us here, taking time out of your busy weekend to do that, especially during the holiday season. And we look forward to getting back with you next week.